Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing your report, and as always every Saturday morning, Mr. Paul Ramo, the voice of Q92, is at the control panel. We're going to start things off talking boys basketball with Barry Besselin, and a couple games this week, Barry.
Yeah, we had two games this week. Started out the week on Monday. We finished up our home portion of the schedule. We hosted Dawson Boyd. Again, anytime you get together with them, everyone brings their best. Everyone knows each other, it's that long time rivalry. The game we were able to get out early and take control of fairly early and extend the lead and firing on all cylinders offensively. Getting a lot of easy shots, easy getting to the rim. And of course, Caden Allpress started out hot right away. He had been in a little bit of a shooting funk for a little while and came right out and hit his first three shots. And next thing you know, he had 9 points right out of the gate and continued throughout the game. And everybody else followed suit. And we went out halftime. I think it was 46-15 halftime score. So we were able to get out and dictate the action there. Defensively, obviously very strong. Second half, we broke it out, even further and kept the game much of the half well, into the 30s, and the final score ended up to be 75-32. Good night as far as we got our starters off the floor. And let the other kids play out the last 8 minutes or so of the game, and so good for them too to get a little extra court time.
Right.
So at 75-43 final. Just from a statistical standpoint, shooting the ball, we were 29-48 for 60% from the field, 11-21 behind the 3-point line for 52%, 54% the line. Rebounds were even at 23. We had 25 assists. Just a tremendous job sharing the ball, and that's one of the things I enjoy watching these guys pass the ball. Not only the unselfishness shows, but also they understand that knack of making that extra pass and finding who that open player is and getting that best possible shot a lot of the time. It just gets fun to watch when they do that, when they're clicking on that. We held Dawson to 37% shooting, 28% at 3-point line, and forced 16 turnovers on the game. Individually, as I mentioned, with Caden Allpress starting out hot, he finished the game with 25 points.
Wow.
He was 9-11 shooting the ball. He's 5-6 on threes. The one he missed was about two-thirds of the way down and popped out on the 3-point line, plus a couple of free throws, and he had a couple steals in there too. Evan Haglin had 15 points. He was 7 of 11 shooting the ball, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. Maverick Conn had 14 points. He was very efficient. He was 5 of 7 shooting. He was 4 of 5 on threes for 14. He had 4 rebounds. Maverick had 11 assists on the night. Just an outstanding job of finding open players for easy baskets, and they also threw in a couple of steals too. And that's the kind of the underrated aspect of Maverick's game is his court vision is so good, and he passes the ball so well. And you let him pass the ball, he'll pass the ball on you all night and hit open kids. So Hunter Conn had 6 points. He was 3 of 5 shooting the ball. He had 5 rebounds, assists, and a couple block shots. Landon Sherm had 5. three rebounds, five assists, and a steal. Will Gies at five, hit a couple of shots, had two assists, two steals. Landon Sherm had five. Mikey Elias. Talk about Landon. Mikey Elias had 4 points with a rebound, three assists, and a steal. TJ Mitchell hit a free throw, threw in three rebounds in his time on the court, and then that would round out our statistical contributions for that night. So a good way to wrap up the home portion of the schedule and leads us to our final stretch of road games to get through conclude the regular season here. Last six in a row, we got the first one in on Thursday night when we were over to McRae. Another game where we were able to go out early and take control early and just gradually extend that thing out. Looked up one time, it was 9-3, then it was 12-5, and 19-9, and 25-12, and it just kind of kept stretching out from there. Halftime, it was 42-17. I thought defensively we were about as good as we've been all year, just in terms of we had our hands on everything. They did not get many really good clean looks at the basket. We were contesting everything, and just our length and our speed on defense was just took control of the game. In the second half, they came out and got a couple baskets right away, got it down to about 20, and then we, got things going again and ended up winning by a score of 74-42. Statistically, shooting the ball, we're 29-64, 45%, 10-30 on threes for 33%, 6-9 on free throws for 67%. We out-rebounded them 35-32 with 24 assists and 18 steals. The big factor, obviously, as I mentioned, with the disruptiveness defensively, we forced 24 turnovers.
Wow.
And the fact we did that, we picked them up full court one possession the whole game, and we didn't get a turnover on that. So we forced 24 turnovers just playing in the half court, which is usually you get that kind of number. You think there's some kind of a press or half court trap or something, and we didn't do that, and we were able to still do force that. So again, that was just our activity in defense was tremendous. Held them also to 27% shooting. They were 4-21 for 19% on the 3-point line too. So, just did not give them anything easy. And that's a team that could, want to let it go on because they can score a lot of points in a hurry. And just to do that was, that was fun to watch defensively. Individually, Caden Allpress led us again. He had 16 points. 7-17 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, an assist, and a steal. And we went to a Hunter Kahn at 15. He's 5-7 shooting the ball. Hit 2-4 on the 3-point line. He had 9 rebounds, also 2 assists and 2 blocked shots. Maverick Kahn at 14 points with 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. He was 6-10 shooting for the night. Kevin Hegland had 13 points, 6-13 shooting the ball. He had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. Really on the back end of our defense, he had his hands on a lot of stuff. Even threw a couple right to him. So, nice all-around night there. Mikey Elias had 6. He was 2-4 shooting. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Landon Sherm had 3 points. 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and then 3 steals for Landon. Will Gies had 3 points with 2 assists and a steal. And then TJ Mitchell hit a basket late in the game along with a rebound. And then Blake Wolfslager was able to knock down a couple free throws also with a rebound and 2 steals to round out our stats for the night.
Okay, B squad and C squad on the week?
B squad got beat by Dawson, and they lost a nail biter at 1-point game to McRae on Thursday. C squad only played against McRae, and I think they only lost by a couple also. So there was, you know, a couple close ones over there and McCray the other night.
Well, you're starting into March, and you're allowed another game the week starting in March. So you have three games next week, but one of the games is a week from today. So we'll be talking about two games. Ben, what does your schedule look like? All on the road now, isn't it?
All on the road. And, of course, now the MSHSL is now allowing, in March, they're allowing you to play three games in a week now, so which is, you know, why we had to postpone the game today, because they weren't allowing that. That game has been rescheduled for the 11th, so that'll be on March 11th. Tuesday night we go to KMS. Again, another tough place to play, and they look like they're back to health. Thursday night we make the trip down to TMB. That was supposed to be our first game of the year. We got a snow out right away that first day we were supposed to play, so we got that game that's been rescheduled. Will be this Thursday night down in Tracy, and then Saturday afternoon we go over to Renville for a rematch with Renville County West.
Right.
So we get some three conference games this week, three tough road games.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Tuesday, Thursday, and we'll talk about those games on the next Culture Show, Barry.
All right.
That's Barry Bessonen on boys basketball. Dylan Erickson walked in the studio, and we'll be talking about the girls' team next.
From the fields to the freeways, biodiesel and ethanol are helping power the economy while protecting our air. In Minnesota, all diesel contains 20% soy biodiesel in the summer and 5% during the winter, and all unleaded gasoline contains 10% corn ethanol. Using biofuels in your vehicle helps reduce emissions, adds value to the state's crops, and helps drive a strong rural economy. Plus, it's made right here in Minnesota, so we can all breathe easier. This message brought to you by the Lacaparle County Corn and Soybean Growers and their checkoffs.
When you need legal assistance, contact the law office of Swenson, Nelson & Stultz Attorneys, downtown Madison, Minnesota. Rick Stultz would be glad to talk to you about all of your legal needs. Call them at 320-598-7578. That's 320-598-7578 for the office of Swenson, Nelson & Stultz in Madison, Minnesota. Happy to be a Q92 sports booster, and they wish all of our area students a great year. Swenson, Nelson & Stultz Attorneys, 214 6th Avenue, downtown Madison, Minnesota. Office hours Monday through Thursday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. They close at noon on Friday.
Back here at the studio, Dylan Erickson talking girls basketballs. A couple games again.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, we had a couple good ones this week. First opened up, we had a Tuesday game, which is kind of nice. You got back after a weekend, you know, and got a little practicing before you go and play a game. We've been stuck on that Monday, Thursday, Friday schedule, so it was nice to play a Tuesday game. And, we traveled to McCray, and they definitely were ready to play. They came out with their half-court, three-quarter-court pressure again, and it's one thing we focused on this week is handling their pressure and kind of knowing what they're going to do. And we still kind of did some of the stuff they wanted us to do. We went right into their traps, right into there. So we started off the game, you know, trading buckets. I think it was 14-12 they got up. And then after that, they kind of went on their run. Then it was 24-12. And then a few minutes before half, it was 33-17. And they kept extending. I think it got to 18 or 19 at one point and took a couple timeouts. And we kind of started handling the pressure a little bit the last few minutes of the half and got it back to 13. So we went into half down 36-23. So they were on a pace to score a lot of points against us, which we only give up, you know. We try to keep them under 50, you know, for sure. We're probably around that 45-47 range a game. And we tried to do a few different things to start the game against that Bourne girl. She's a really, really good player in the conference, and everyone around her stepped up. McRae's other girls and guards started knocking down shots, and inside they started scoring on us. And so we had to start changing things up and going away from what we thought we were going to maybe do, but that's all right. And so we just talked in half and tried simpling things up and, you know, making sure we're going to handle their pressure and come out with a little different defense on them in the second half. And we started to hit shots and started to not turn the basketball over and limit them to one shot. And we ended up playing really well and scoring 42 points in the second half. And I was scoring them by 17. We outscored them 42-25 in the second half to come away with a 65-61 win. So not pretty at all times, but hey, they never quit. They never give up, and they kept working hard. And I, like I said, I'm proud of them, and I can't ask for more than that, you know. But we're going to have to start figuring out, you know, when it gets later now and into the playoffs and stuff, we're going to start figuring out how to come out fast in the first half and not waiting until the second half. We've done it 3-4 times this year, and one of these times, you know, especially when playoffs come, it won't, maybe we'll be too late, you know. So we have to have that urgency to start the game and kind of continue that throughout the entire game. But McCray's playing well. They went to the next night or on Thursday, and they played CMCS, and they went down and beat them at their home court. So, again, they're playing really well right now, and so it's a really good win for us, too.
Would have liked to have been a little mouse in the locker room at halftime.
yes or no? No, no, it's no. I'm proud of them. We just simple things down and just, you know, cool, calm, collect, and just have some urgency now in the second half. We have to, you know, and don't worry about the score. But like I said, we're gonna have to start from the tip instead of coming out of halftime. It'll be the difference. Yep. But some stats on the night: Taylor Shelsett, our sophomore, led us in scoring with 24 points. She had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. And then Cameron Lee, another sophomore, had 13 points, 8 rebounds, an assist, and a block. Macy Lund had 9 points, shot it well from the free throw line again for us down the stretch. 3 rebounds, 4 steals. Alex did at 8 points, a rebound, and 3 assists. Cassie Olsen had a bucket, a couple rebounds. Addie Bond had 4 points and 4 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal. Riley Lund had 5 points and a rebound, and Tori Bungarden had a rebound, an assist, and a couple steals for us. So, again, we shot 12 of 16 from the free throw line, so that's a pretty good number, and we're going to need that down the stretch and something we focus on all the time. And if we can make free throws down the stretch, we'll win a lot of games that way, and we have shown we can do that. So, but again, Bourne had 15. I know she had 13 at half, and we only held her to 2 at the second half. So, again, a good job defensively on her in the second half, but like I said, I'd like to see us start faster and not have to come out of a hole all the time, but we'll get there.
Yeah. Well, I don't see any gray hairs.
That's one thing. I walked into the locker room after the game. I said, come on, girls, we got to have a little conversation here. And I said, I don't want to have gray hair already after 1 year and look like Sherb next to me. And Sherb's, oh, I knew it was coming, you know, type of deal. But no, it's true. I might otherwise. But no, that was nice to have a nice win. And then we got back to work on Wednesday, and we were back at it on Thursday at home. Finally, we got a nice stretch of we're going to have 5 home games in a row. Now we got one of them out of the way and done. So it was nice to play against in front of our home fans and crowd and be on our own gym. And then we had senior and parents night too. Okay. That night. And it was fun to recognize them and for all the hard work and stuff they've done for the Lacapara basketball program. So they traveled to us, and we came out flat again in the first half, and, you know, traded bucks to a 7-7. Then it was 12-12, and then that's when we kind of, you know, went on our little bit of a run there and extended the lead to 35-20 at half. And then we kind of came out of half again and played much, much better, and we ended up winning 71-28. So we held them down in the second half, and that's kind of been our MO this year, is we give up some points in the first half, and the second half we usually are a much better defensive team too, and then that just fuels our offense, and we can kind of create a lead there or whatnot. So again, they're an improving team, and they have some young girls too and some seniors in there too, but definitely improving. They have I think the guy's in his second year and doing a good job, and so yeah, the good bright future for Ortonville too. But I can run through some stats here.
Sure.
A senior on senior night led us, Macy Lund, with 20 points. She was 6 of 10 from the 3-point line, so, and most of them came in the second half, and she shot the ball really well when they were sitting in their zone. She had 5 steals, 7 rebounds, and 2 assists. Let's see here. Taylor Shelsett had 16 points. She had 6 steals, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and a block. Cameron Lee had 13 points, 2 steals, 7 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Riley Lund had 6 points, a couple big threes for us there to get spark us a little bit again. 2 steals, 3 rebounds, and 5 assists. Let's see here, who else? Addie Bond had 5 points, 3 steals, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. Cassie Olsen had 2 points, 2 steals, 5 rebounds, and assist. Tori Bungarden had 4 points, 2 steals, 6 rebounds, and an assist, and 2 blocks. And who else? Ayana Gibson got in there and got a rebound and an assist there toward the end. And so, yeah, and Alex did have 5 points, three steals, and two rebounds. So, again, a good team effort there and to come out with another win. And big week coming up for us again now. I know CMCS dropping that game to McRae now maybe gives us a little bit of breathing room, but we can't let up, and we got to try win a big game on Tuesday at the Valley for kind of a big difference maker between us and CMCS, who's right on our heels. You know, we have 2 losses in the conference. They have 4 now, but again, we have a long ways to go yet too. So it'll be a big win if we could play well and play beat them. And then Friday, we're at home again against Kirkhoven, okay. KMS. So
B squad, C squad,
B squad is still undefeated. They won them both this week. Wow. So, yep. Yeah, they're playing. Like I said, they're playing well, and those girls just keep improving every game, every practice, and gel together. And Sherb does a great job. So,
okay,
yeah.
Well, thanks for the report this morning. Best of luck on those games and at home. That's great, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Absolutely, thanks, guys. Go Eagles.
Dylan Erickson on girls basketball. We'll take this break and be talking with Lisa Johnson on Dance Line after this.
At Cockleman Construction in Canby, they'll do the job right for you. They offer all types of dozer, scraper, and backhoe work, ditch cleaning, site preparation, and soil conservation work, plus gravel delivery. Call Ross at 507-828-2060. That's Cockleman Construction Incorporated in Canby, where they do the job right for you. For all your insurance needs, it's the Lacaparra Mutual Insurance Company, Strand Agency. Lacaparra Mutual Insurance Company was organized in 1885 and is owned by the people it serves. If you need a quote for your farm, auto, business, or home, contact the Lacaparra Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency. They're located on Main Street, Dawson. Talk with Peter or Vicki Strand. Lacaparra Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to Lacaparra Valley Dawson Boyd Shadows. And Coach Lisa Johnson's in the studio with us. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
And how's your day going?
It's great. Thank you.
It's great so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's that exciting time of the year when sections is just around the corner for the Shadows.
Yeah, we winded down and finished our regular season. And so now we got one more week to prepare for the section tournament.
How many regular season meets did you have? Was it a normal?
Yeah, we actually had 7.
You did? Okay.
Yeah, which was fast because it was 6 weeks, seven events. Oh. So, yeah, it was fast. But, yeah, it was great.
I know you didn't, on a regular year without the COVID, I know you go down to the cities for a tournament and up by Cold Spring, you didn't do that this year.
No, no. Yeah, with only 3 teams allowed in a school at a time, most of the regular competitions that we had changed a little bit. So we just went to section and conference schools this round.
Yep, okay. Well, last time we talked with you, I think we have a couple meets to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, we have a few that we haven't talked about yet. So last Saturday we went to Worthington.
That's a long drive. 2
hours.
It was.
It was actually nice. I'd never been to Worthington and it's a great town.
My brother lives there.
Okay. Yep. Very nice. Very nice. So great day. We danced really, really well. I think we pulled off a 76 average in both high kick and jazz. So the girls really danced well, and it was a really fun day. They recognized all the seniors in our conference, and it was just a really nice day.
What other teams were there?
The first pod was us, YME, and Worthington, and then the second pod was Canby, Mineota, McRae, and I can't think of the third one. Oh, Lakeview.
Okay. There you
go. So it was the top 6 in our conference.
Okay. And they recognize all the seniors
they
from
did.
The teams.
Yep, it was neat. Very nice. Yep. Good. Yep.
And so you took first in high kick?
Yep, first in both. Danced really, really well. Our JV danced really, really well. It was just a fun day. Okay.
Are you changing up the routine at all, or are you keeping it the same basically?
Well, we've changed a little bit in jazz, especially now this week. We made some tweaks to the jazz routine just because we weren't turning as well as we wanted to be turning, and our turning scores weren't as high as we wanted them. So we changed up our big turn set this week, and we'll hope for the best.
Okay. Good. So that's Worthington.
Yeah.
Then you went up to what, Minnewaska?
Yeah, on Monday night we went to Minnewaska to finish off our season, and it was us in Minnewaska and Wyoming. And the girls danced well again. It was really a fun night as well. Mm-hmm. The last few have been a little bit more normal, I guess, yep. If you want to say it that way.
Okay.
I think they're letting a few more fans in. And mm-hmm. and when you have three in your pod and all of them have JVs, it's not so quick of a night. Okay. And it gives the girls a little bit of time in between, mm-hmm. which we hadn't been seeing.
Okay.
You know, some of the times we were dancing 15 minutes from jazz to high kick. And that's a quick turnaround, and it's not good for the girls, and it's not good for their bodies. So so having a little bit more turnaround or less turnaround time is better.
What were the scores there, do you remember?
Yeah, we danced really well. I think we were still in that 76-75 range. We just got our seedings today for our section tournament, and we're seeded number one, so we're excited about that.
All right, cheer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I wonder if I ever, is Minnewaska in our section?
They are, okay. Yep, they are seeded third.
Have they had a dance team for a long time?
This is like their fourth or fifth year.
That's what I thought. I don't remember Minnewaska dance.
Yeah, okay. They just started a few years back, and really building a phenomenal program.
Good.
So it's really fun to see them really just make their mark, and to be ranked or seated third in our section is pretty phenomenal for your third or fourth year.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Okay, great. All right, so anything else on your regular season there then?
No, we're just excited.
Let's preview that section tournament next Saturday then.
Yeah, so we're going to sections Saturday.
Again.
Looks like right now I don't have the exact lineup yet and all of that. That's still coming out. But we will probably dance at 1 and 1:30 in that pod. And then we'll have a virtual award ceremony at 5:30 on Saturday.
Okay, so that is really different. It's going to not be the same, that's for sure. So.
No, it'll be different. Luckily, we'll be able to get home and meet up as a team and kind of celebrate. Yeah.
So defending section champions, how many years has that been?
This will be four if we can do it this year. So we got three so far. It's exciting.
Yeah. All right. That's next Saturday, not this Saturday. Saturday the 6th. Okay.
Yep.
Well, whenever I have you in the studio, I always like to talk about some of the girls. We've already recognized the seniors and juniors the last few weeks. We got sophomores this year or this week?
Sure. We can do sophomores.
Yeah. Sophomores.
We have eight sophomores. It's a big class, really big, talented class, just like the senior class and just like last year's class. Okay. So.
Just take some time and talk about each one. We got a few minutes here.
First is Annika Fernholz. She's a sophomore, and she's been on the varsity team since eighth grade. Very talented young lady. She has been in the dancing for Valley Dance since she was pretty little. So she's very good, and especially in jazz, she's pretty talented. Next would be Lexi Gleggy. She is second year on our high kick team, and she's one of those girls that works extra hard to get where she's at. Flexibility doesn't come easy, and she just works hard to hold her spot and hold her own on our team. Mm-hmm. So we're pretty proud of her. Bella Jacobs, this year is her first year on varsity jazz, and she's done a really good job. I think my favorite story about her is in seventh grade, she had never dance jazz before, and she tried out for jazz, didn't even make the JV team. And so that year she joined Valley Dance and took a year of ballet and came back in eighth grade, and now in 10th grade just dancing varsity. So that says a lot about her.
Who's that again?
Bella Jacobs.
Pretty talented
golfer as well, as you guys know.
Right, yeah.
Yep. So then we have Regan Martinson. This is her second year on varsity kick as well. And she's just a hard worker and strong, very, very strong mentally and physically. I think she lifts weights about five times a week.
Awesome.
Even during COVID, she's just a tough girl. And we just love her so much. Then we have Reese Mitchell. And this is her third year on varsity kick. She's talented. She's strong. She just loves the sport of dance, and she loves our team. And she's kind of a one of those silly cheerleaders that we have on the team. And she's really becoming a leader now that she's in 10th grade and been on the team for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So then we have Peyton Moe. She is also, this is her third year on varsity jazz and kick. Her and Annika and Emily Torstensen, they're kind of a trio. They all three joined varsity jazz in 8th grade. And it was kind of an eye-opener for them. And then they went on to win the state tournament as 8th graders. So
wow, that's impressive.
That says a lot about those three, yeah. And especially Peyton. She, I think in 8th grade, she did not make the varsity team. And came to camp and worked really, really hard. And by the end of camp, we told her, you're ready for varsity jazz now. And so that's kind of how hard of a worker that Peyton is.
Yep.
And then we have Landry Schmidt, who is a second year on varsity kick. And last year, she also didn't make the varsity kick team. And when we got there after the first week of practice, we knew she was ready for varsity. So she left the JV and joined us on the varsity team a couple weeks after we had already started and learned the routine in a couple days and was competing within 3-4 weeks. So that's Landry Schmidt. She works hard.
Yep.
And then last would be Emily Torstensen. And she's one of those of that trio, Emily, Peyton, and Annika. They are very talented in jazz. Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal. They keep up with Grace and the other seniors and fit right in, even back in 8th grade. So she's a hard worker. I guess that's what I can say about all of them. They're hard workers, and they know what they want. They set their goals, and they don't stop until they accomplish them. So that's the sophomore class.
That's a lot. Very familiar names there, and a lot of experience for sophomores on varsity. A
lot of experience. Yep. Yeah, most of them, you know, dancing in 8th and 9th grade on varsity. So,
all right. Thanks for doing that, Lisa. Yeah. Next time you're on, we'll do the freshmen.
And we'll that sounds good.
Down. So good luck next Monday or next Saturday in Montevideo for the section tournament.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a blast.
It's gonna be different, but it's gonna be great.
And I'll figure out a way to cover it somehow.
Yes, yes, we'll figure out something, and we'll have the results online or on air. Yep.
All right. Thanks, Lisa, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me,
Lisa Johnson, the head coach of the La Caprara State Champion. I was gonna mention that. It sounds a lot better. State Champion La Caprara Valley Dawson Boyd Shadows, and we'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Landowners, for all your tiling, drainage, and excavating needs, contact Nate Ludvigson of Ludvigson Tiling at 320-226-7022. Ludvigson Tiling provides the following services to landowners: drainage tile installation and ditch cleaning, and much more. Nate gives estimates upon request, and all work guaranteed. Contact Nate today. That number again, 320-226-7022. Ludvigson Tiling of Madison, Minnesota. For more information, check them out on the web at ludvigsontiling.com.
National FFA Week is February 20th through the 27th. I'm Megan Tolk. As a proud member of the Canby FFA chapter, I invite you to join us during National FFA Week to celebrate FFA and show your support of agricultural education and the future of agriculture. This week and every week, we recognize our members and supporters' impact on our chapters, communities, and agriculture. By doing just one positive action, each and every one of us can make a difference. Are you ready? Visit FFA.org today to learn how you can get involved.
Hats off this week to our FFA students around the area and their leaders. From Canby Co-op Credit Union, Ludvigson Tiling, Miller Services Incorporated, Jim's Market in Canby, Livestock Systems in Dawson, Jenny O Turkey Store in Dawson, and Independent Oil Company of Canby.
Welcome back to the Culture Show. We're going to turn our attention to wrestling. And this is done via the tape recorder because actually you are in action today down in Tracy, what's been in the past called the Plum Creek Dual Meet Tournament, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But here a week ago, you were down in Canby to see Canby and Red Rock Central. And then on Thursday, you wrestled in Montevideo against Border West and Morris area, Hancock, Chicago, Alberta. And then last night, you were in Montevideo for a dual meet against ACGC. So you got a real busy schedule to talk about. You're going to send us some results from last night that I can quickly go over, and maybe we'll touch on that again next week. But first, let's turn the calendar back a week and hear about that try down in Canby, Ross.
All right. We started all with the Red Rock Central Falcons. Dan Gunlickson was at 106. He was forfeited too. At 113, Cam Sather wrestled Evan Bartholomew. And Cam wrestled a great match and beat a very good Red Rock boy 8-4. At 120, Ethan Morovitz wrestled Aubrey Mathewitz, and Ethan pinned Aubrey in 41 seconds. At 126, Tyler Schickendance pinned Zach Zimmerman in 5:17. At 132, Xander Clausen pinned Carter Burneck at 140. At 138, Landon Noschel pinned Andrew Pankinen in 24 seconds. And at 145, Mason McDougal for Team United pinned Ryan Zimmerman in 30 seconds. At 152, Dane Mortensen for United pinned Damon Holman at the 325 mark. At 160, Avery Whitnabel for Team United pinned Peyton Harrison at 138. At 170, Trevin Johnson wrestled Vander Mathewitz. Very, very tough young kid for him. He was a ninth grade league state champ last year, so he's a sophomore this year, but Trevin came away with a 4-2 decision over Mathewitz. Mm-hmm. At 182, Holt Larson wrestled Damon Oslin, and Oslin pinned Holt at the 140 mark. At 195, Landon Olson wrestled Austin Cohen, and Landon pinned Austin in 5:16. At 220, Parker Bothan for Team United pinned Gavin Heth at the 4:18 mark. And at heavyweight, Trey Tykert lost a very tough decision to Corey Anderson, 5-3. Trey went to his back, and that was the difference in the match. To make the final team score 66-9 in favor of Team United. Then we wrestled a Canby team that we had seen earlier in the season, and they clipped us earlier in the season. We didn't look real sharp, and this time we came out firing, and the kids responded well and wrestled well. Dan Gunlickson at 106 got us going with a fall at 259 over Clayton Dreets. At 113, Cam Sather decision Eli Greenman 6-5 in a great match. At 120, Lane Fink for Canby pinned Ethan Morovitz at the 3-minute mark. At 126, Tyler Schickendance pinned Blake Geese in 24 seconds. At 132, Xander Clausen pinned Nick Wagner at the 107 mark. At 138, Lincoln Fink ended up pinning Landon Oshel. Landon went down in the match. He actually lost his wind, and he was ahead. He was ahead by 3 points, I believe, and late in the match, and he ended up getting pinned. 145, Caton Huntley pinned Sawyer Dreets at 135. At 152, Dane Mortensen decisioned Tanner Dreets 12-6. At 160, Avery Whitnabel pinned Easton Anthony in three minutes and 29 seconds. At 170, Trevin Johnson pinned Sawyer Verhels in 1 minute. At 182, Parker Verhels, major decision, Holt Larson, 16-5. At 195, Josh Steffen, very tough senior for Canby, pinned Landon Olson at the 146 mark. At 220, Parker Bothan pinned Gavin Noyes at 5:29, and Trey Tyker was forfeited to make the final team score 54-22 in favor of Team United. Then, like you said, we were in Montevideo, and we started out with a very tough Morris area team, and Cam Sather wrestled Tyce Anderson from Morris, and Cam pinned Tyce Anderson at the 157 mark at 113. Dan Gunlickson wrestled a very tough Dallas Walton, and it was a great match for Dan. We weigh in 2 6-pounders, and Walton is all of 13, and yeah. Dan ended up a little short. He was 4-3, lost to Dallas Walton. That's only Dan's second loss in the season.
Those first two weights for Morris area were head and shoulders taller than both Sather and Gunlickson.
Yeah, we're not real tall down there, but they're
but they were strappers. Really tall for their weight class, yes.
Yeah, yes, they were. Then at 120, Ethan Morovitz decisioned Andrew Marty, 8-4. And at 126, very tough Ethan Labrija for Morris. 10, Tyler Schickendance at the 5:50-38 mark. At 132, a very tough Davin Rose for Morris. 10, Xander Clausen in 105. At 138, Landon Oshel was 4:52. At 145, Caden Huntley was 4:52. At 152, Dane Mortensen. Major decision, Dane Schroeder. Doesn't have the final 50. 13-4. Yep. Sorry.
Yep.
160, Avery Whitnable pinned Noah Omston in 5:30. At 170, Trev Johnson pinned Hunter Messner in 20 seconds. And at 182, Holt Larson decisioned Toby Messner. At 195, Landon Olson was teched by Hunter Gibson. At 220, Keaton Haas pinned Brock Marty. Keaton coming off a scary knee injury. He's been battling injuries with his knees, but he fought through it and got a 16-second fall for his team. And at heavyweight, Trey Tykert for Team United pinned Carter Gibson to make the final team score 52-20 in favor of Team United. Then we wrestled Border West in the finale. Wheaton, Herman Norcross area makes up Border West. But 106, Danny Gunlickson wrestled a state-ranked. They're both ranked right now. Dan's ranked in AA and Cole Sikora, great wrestling family for Border West. Sikora is a very physical 6-pounder. Dan came away with a 7-4 decision in a great match for him. 113, Cam Sather wrestled a very tough Jude Olson. Cam was decisioned 7-5. I believe that's Cam's third loss in the season only. At 120, Ethan Morovitz pinned Peyton Forsier in 137. At 126, Tyler Schickendance wrestled a very tough Eli Larson, and Tyler was pinned at the 302 mark. At 132, Xander Clausen was 4:52. At 138, Landon Noschel pinned Patrick Forsier at the 5:37 mark. At 145, Caden Huntley was 4:52. At 152, Mason McDougal was 4:52. At 160, Dane Mortensen tech-falled Jacob Adelman. At 170, Avery Whitnable was 4:52. At 182, Trev Johnson was 4:52. At 195, Holt Larson was pinned by Andrew Hennessy at the 3:58 mark. At 220, Parker Bothan was pinned by Isaac Ebnett in 16 seconds. At heavyweight, Trey Tykert was 4:52 to make the final team score 56-21 in favor of United.
Yeah, they looked sharp that night. I know Danny Lee and I did that match on the radio, along with Montevideo and Morris. There were 3 radio stations there, and that's good. Good coverage for Western Minnesota. But the kids looked good. And then last night, let's talk about ACGC. They're ranked in the state, and then talk about next week.
We've got ACGC, like you said. As we speak, we're going to be wrestling it tonight. So they are tough. Yeah. They're a very tough team. Yeah. And next week we Saturday we're going down to Tracy. We're going to see Tracy and Adrian, who we've seen earlier.
Okay.
And next week on Tuesday we're at Montevideo, and
right.
That's going to be BBE and Marshall.
Wow.
Two very tough teams. BBE is just stacked. They're going to be one of the elite teams in Class A, and Marshall has always got a great bunch, and we should we'll have our hands full that night. And then Thursday, we're out at Lacaparo Valley, and we see TMB, Walnut Grove, Westbrook, and then Wabasso.
Okay.
And
wow.
We finish out the regular season at Benson, and that's Benson and Albany. Painesville is backed out.
Okay, then that's the following Saturday. Gosh, next week's a busy week, starting actually last night and today, and then Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. Wow. Well, best of luck on all of those. Thanks for the chat this morning. Best on all of those, and we'll hear all about Tuesday and Thursday, and preview Saturday on the next Coaches Show, Ross.
Thank you.
That's Ross Jurgensen on wrestling. We'll take this break and have more of the Coaches Show when we return.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information, or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Back here at the station, mentioned with Ross Jurgensen that they had a match last night against Atwater Cosmos Grove City, ACGC. They're currently ranked number 3 in Class A, with 7 of their wrestlers ranked individually, and I think at least 1, maybe 2, are ranked the very best. I mean, rankings doesn't mean anything, but certainly ACGC's got a great program. Well, that match ended up 11-3 split, with ACGC coming out with the final score of 52-13. We'll hear about it from Ross Jurgensen next week. Xander Claussen won by fall at 132, I believe. Dane Mortensen won by major decision at 150, and Trevin Johnson at 182 won by decision as well for their 13 points. The seven ranked wrestlers for ACGC won some close matches at the first two weight classes, but still they won. Well, that just about wraps it up for the Coaches Show for another week. I got a couple of Dick Newman's sick jokes of the week. This is about the virus a little bit. People keep asking, is coronavirus really all that serious? Listen, the casinos and churches are closed. When heaven and hell agree on the same thing, it's probably pretty serious. The coronavirus has turned us all into dogs. We wander around the house looking for food. We get told no when we get too close to strangers. And we really get excited about going for walks and car rides. And then kind of an interesting fact. The University of Alaska spans 4 time zones. Well, that wraps it up. Another week here in Eagle Country. Thanks for listening, and tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
We're at 9:55. Great music for Gary, Clear Lake, and Millbank, South Dakota on Q92 KLQP FM.